Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty and Kelly Sander. We're in the Southern Bank Corps studio here in beautiful Oak Grove. Not a cloud in the sky. Going to be a perfect night for Southern Miss baseball down on the Gulf Coast. Daniel Stewart will be joining us later in the show to talk about that. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which would be a good place for guys like me and Kelly to go get some barbecue, some soft serve ice cream, some, what is that you like?
Cream spinach.
You like that?
Yeah.
Do you mix it up with the ice cream, Kelly?
No. That's where I draw the line. But, you know, with the Troy boys coming in this weekend, Bob, it'd be leave your tailgating stuff to Dickie's, order it now, just swing by and pick it up.
100%, and you will not be disappointed. All right, like we said, Daniel Stewart going to join us a little later, but breaking news occurred this morning, and that was the announcement we had anticipated, I think it's fair to say, that Jay Ladner will be back as the basketball coach at Southern Miss. And Kelly, we've got some – I spent a good bit of time with Jay Friday in his office, and we've got some parts of that interview we want to run here in the next couple of segments, but real quick, your thoughts about the news.
I'm not surprised. He had 1 year left on his contract. Now, there's no word that a contract has been extended. But there's a lot of things that could happen in that remaining year. And again, when contract extensions used to be a big deal, not so much anymore, because other teams can't use that as a recruiting tool against you. Well, you don't even know if your coach is going to be there next year. Well, that's not a problem anymore because 9 out of 10 teams don't know that any of their players are going to be back the next
year.
That's
for sure.
So that's no big deal. But looking back at Coach Ladner's career, you know, he won a junior college national championship in 2014, then went on to Southeastern Louisiana, won the Southland championship in 2018. He won the Sun Belt title in 2023. His Southern Miss record is 92-126. His overall career record is 167-214. That's right about 42-43% career. But I'm not surprised at all that decision was reached.
All right, as I say, we talked about a lot of things. We're going to bring you a couple of segments of that conversation. Here's Jay talking to me Friday about the 25-26 season and the run in the conference tournament.
So there's a misconception out there, Bob, that if you lose a few games in a row that something's wrong, or if you win a few games, we're doing great. Can't look at it like that. You have to really look down, and that's why film and evaluation of the game is so important post-game, because you look at it, and if you look at it with a fine-tooth comb, and it also keeps you grounded and keeps you improving. We don't get too high over wins. We don't get too low over losses, and I think that once Isaac came back, that our ceiling rose. I thought we were playing actually pretty well without him. We were just somewhat limited. When he came back, it took some pressure off Weeks. Of course, if you look at Weeks, had some great games after Isaac came back because it made the defenses more honest. Whereas when he would catch the ball without Isaac on the floor, all five players would load to the ball, would crowd the lane and make it difficult because, of course, as you know, his game was – driving to the basket. And so anyway, with all that being said, I think it was very simply our team, and they stayed the course. I want to say that they stayed the course. They didn't get all, you know, after we lost a few games and kind of in the middle of the year when Tavares went out, they didn't get down. They didn't throw the towel in. They didn't start questioning things. They just stayed the course. And when Isaac came back, it gave us that big boost. And our guys, you talk about a team that was hurt when we lost that. Of course, we were playing our fourth game in four nights against Troy in the Sun Belt tournament. That was one of the most hurt locker rooms that I've ever been a part of. emotionally hurt. And when guys are hurt, they're invested in what was going on. So anyway, all in all, I was incredibly proud of our team.
Was the final loss a result of fatigue from having to play so much in a row?
I would again. I'm not one to make excuses. I was raised that way. It's hard, and especially the game, the way that we had to play, the teams that we had to play. We played three teams that were all three at the end of the year play. The team playing the best basketball at the end of the year was not Troy. In our league, the Texas State had won 8 out of 9. James Madison had won 7 of their last 8, and App State I think had won 6 of their last 8. So the three hottest teams in the league we had to play on consecutive night took our very best effort to be able to beat all three of those teams on consecutive nights. And in Troy's case, Troy actually had kind of limped in at the end. They had beaten ULM, Louisiana Monroe, who was last in our league, on a last-second shot. They had lost a few games. One of them was to us, and so the break for them came at a great time. They were able to kind of get a reset, which they needed. But we had to play those teams that were playing their best basketball that I just mentioned. And so anyway, but I hate to say that it was. Let me just put it this way. Let me rephrase it in a more positive way. I wish we could have played them with all of us having the same number of days of rest. I wish we could have played Troy at that time. And I give all the credit to Troy. Great team, great coach, great. They've won it 2 years in a row. But I certainly think, based on the way that we were playing, and I think they would tell you that. I think Troy, I think Coach Cross, because he and I have spoken since then. And he felt like that. Our teams were both even.
Does that format need to change?
It's set up, of course, to reward the team that had did the best throughout the course of the year. But here it hurts a team, and let's just use us as an example this year, that happened to lose a player for a significant portion of the season. You lost one of your key players. It hurts that team, you know. So I'm not necessarily in favor of that format. I do think that there are other formats out there that reward the teams that do well consistently over the course of the year in a different way. You know, look at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern came from, you know, on the other side of the bracket. They ended up playing 5 games in 5 nights. Mm-hmm. And you know, that ended up being a hard, hard thing for them. But they almost won it. But, you know, somebody, you know, one of the other coaches from one of the other schools that his team had gotten eliminated, he began to talk about the – is that dangerous, you know, to continue to play night after night after night? Mm-hmm. And you're looking at putting your guys in a position to be injured. Mm-hmm. So I think that has to be discussed in our spring meeting, and we will evaluate it and of course, take that to our board.
All right, Kelly, I thought that was a really interesting point that Jay made about the Sun Belt tournament. Are you endangering these athletes by forcing them to play so many games? And apparently there's going to be some discussion about that at the meeting. What are your thoughts?
But honestly, to be fair, you think they would have discussed that earlier.
Yeah.
And he's right. Georgia Southern almost won it, but you are, which is why you only play football once a week,
right?
Or once every 10 days. It's because so when people always talk about expanding the football playoff, well, you're just – or expanding the NFL schedule, you're just putting athletes who are already getting – smashed up, you know, into creating more exposure for themselves. So I think it needs to change. And I'll go a step further. I'm not sure that every team in the league needs to go to the tournament.
Nor does Coach Ladner. He said as much, yeah. And he even brought in the possibility of maybe a play-in game for the bottom teams in the league.
Because if coaches were absolutely truthful with you, if their team can't muster anywhere near a winning record, they would probably just say, I'm ready for this thing to be over with.
Yeah,
and the players 9 times out of 10 would say the same thing. Yeah, we're not going to win it. Yeah, it'd be a nice trip, but let's just shut it down. Because Lord knows, when you're playing, rewinding the calendar back to October, you've had your fill of basketball by then.
Right. And I don't think you can argue with this point that the loss of Tavares really hurt them.
Absolutely, it did.
And they may have been a 20-plus win season team, I mean, had he not been injured.
And when you look at that deadlock for third or fourth place or whatever it was in the league and the way it shook out, so they go from being a 3 seed all the way down to a 7. I mean, it was so close in the league this year, the way those tiebreakers went. They could have just as easily been a 3 or 4 seed, which would have taken a few games off of that schedule. But again, if you set up a format to where not everybody qualifies for the postseason tournament, I think that would be ideal.
All right, so Jay Ladner is definitely coming back next year. And what's in store for the basketball program moving forward? In the next segment, he's going to address that. Something else that may surprise you is he talks a good bit about how behind the scenes, a lot of illegal recruiting is going on in basketball. Does that shock you, Kelly?
Gee, is there such thing anymore as illegal recruiting? I mean, it's almost just, it's about every man for himself nowadays.
All right, so when we come back, more from Jay Ladner, who will be back next year as the head basketball coach. And then Daniel Stewart's coming in the studio. We're going to talk about tonight's matchup. And Nicholls State is on the horizon.
Oh, you said the N-word.
That makes me a little nervous. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Alexa or Siri will play it for you, or you can go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. We hope you will. If you can't catch the show live, we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Second segment sponsored every day by Eagle Tire West. That's where Matt Warren and his staff invite you to come see them for premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. All right, as we said at the top of the show, announcement made this morning that men's basketball coach Jay Ladner will return next year. That's after they have a 19-win season. And, Kelly, no surprise that the two key members of the team were Isaac Tavares and Tylik Weeks. Is that a fair statement?
And now the question becomes, how do you keep them here?
Well, here's what Jay says about that.
Even though those young men are not in the transfer portal, you can trust me on this. They are getting communicated with multiple times a day by agents, maybe not from another school, maybe not directly, but certainly indirectly. And it's been happening for a long time, since they both have had the type of years that they had here. So, you know, a player comes to Southern Miss, we put them in a position to be successful. They have great numbers, and we know, and they've told me, about the different people that have reached out during the season, and that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And you would say, well, why don't you call the NCAA and so forth? Because the coach at school B is smart enough to have a third party talk to him and not him directly, and so therefore it gets into a gray area. But so in the years past, we would simply be recruiting 4 or 5 players. Now we have to look at recruiting a whole roster. So as soon as our season, it happened.
Obviously, they're very important to you rebuilding for next year. As we're doing this interview, how confident are you that you can keep these two guys?
I'm only confident that they want to be here, and I think that's really the most important part. I'll say that. The figures, Bob, that are getting thrown at them and what they're telling me is really beyond belief. I'm going to be very honest with you. And I don't know how much of our fan base quite understands. You know, we're not talking about, you know, a difference of a few thousand dollars. We're talking about very significant from what they came to Southern Miss for and what we were able to do this year as compared to what they're being offered is really at this point significant. But with that being said, they both would like to stay because there's a familiarity there, and they realize, and one of the things that I'm selling, that if you go somewhere else, there's going to be a huge unknown, and that could affect you 2 years down the line when you're talking about professional opportunities, where as your resume is going to continue to build here, you could, you know, so that, you know, that's kind of an angle I'm taking, that they look at a bigger picture.
You've been through a lot, Coach. You had the documented health issue that fortunately you've conquered and overcome. You lost your dad. You just had and you had this craziness come up out of your control about players allegedly, you know, influencing the outcome of games in a negative way. How are you, and what keeps you going?
Well, I appreciate you asking that, Bob. I think a lot of it, of course, making me kind of think about my dad a little bit, but I was raised in a great family. I was raised in a religious family, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I rely so much on my faith to get me through and not get too down about it. But until then, that's my one and only focused goal, win the league, get us to the NCAA tournament, and then we'll talk about maybe handing it over to somebody else at that point.
And I do want to point out that Coach Ladner would be willing to talk about the indictments and all of that alleged behavior, but you've been advised for legal reasons not to.
That's correct. I've got some strong feelings about it. Again, I will simply say that, you know, there's a strong feeling you feel in these young men. I mentioned a second ago about you treat them like they're your own sons, and you pour a lot into it, and it was very, very hurtful to know that. But we've been told, rightfully so, there's still a lot of stuff going on with that in the investigations and so forth, and we've been told that our statement is what the athletic department put out when all that hit. And I'll just say this, it's unfortunate that it shades a bad light on our program, and I'm not happy about that.
All right, I also asked Coach Ladner, Kelly, about you get construction on the Coliseum and how important.
What construction?
Well, that's a great question, and here's how he answered that.
Me, for somebody that grew up in Hattiesburg, that's a Hattiesburg person, a Southern Miss person, that it's going to have a much broader impact. But as for me, as far as a basketball coach, we have to have this. I see what the other teams in our league have, and our powers that be, I think, they understand it as well. We cannot compete unless we get it at least on par, and it's going to be that's just a fact. But again, I'm very excited about here, hopefully in just a couple of months, that I think the general public will begin to see the actual renovations and so forth going on. And to be honest with you, the first one, Bob, the first thing they're going to do is build a practice facility. And we don't have one. We're one of the few Division I teams in the country that don't have a practice facility.
And that was a question that I just wanted to ask you. How optimistic are you by the start of next basketball season that you will have a practice facility?
I don't know whether it will be complete. I hope it will be by the start of next season, but I know that it is the first thing that they're going to be doing, because when we began to get dislodged from the main arena for shows and things like that, obviously we've got to have somewhere to be able to go to.
All right, so they got to have somewhere to go to. So there are two things that I believe what Jay has indicated are necessities for success next year: keeping Tavares and Weeks, and improving the 60-year-old basketball arena, Kelly.
And I don't know, with all due respect to Jay, I don't know what construction company he's talking about, because the beginning of next basketball season is this October. All right. Well, when you take into account that Reed Green Coliseum hosts a lot of high school and other graduation ceremonies that they're not going to want the construction to necessarily have to deal with. All right. So graduations are in May. So you're talking about maybe a June 1st groundbreaking, and the season starts in October. It's not going to be ready. It's not going to be anywhere close to being ready. When you look at the drawings, any facility with any construction company, the best there is, it's going to take two, probably years to, I would think, to complete a structure like that. So there's no way it's going to be ready by next season.
And I'm not here to apologize for Jay Ladner. He doesn't need me defending him. He can defend himself. But the fact is, that's a reality. And here's what he explained to me. You bring a kid in that's being recruited in the Sun Belt, and the kid doesn't know much about the Sun Belt schools. Say he's in the portal. He goes over to Louisiana, and he sees the Cajun Dome. And, you know, he goes to where? Pick a school.
Georgia Southern, who just spent $110 million.
And then he comes to the 62-year-old facility in Hattiesburg. And according to Coach Ladner, your chances of recruiting that kid have just dramatically decreased.
And Tylik Weeks, let's use him as an example. He played at Southwest Community College down in Summit. So he's a guy from around here, right? His roots kind of have grown around here. So he's not necessarily in any big hurry to go anywhere else. But still, the bottom line is if you want to get players on a nationwide scale, like the baseball team has been able to do,
you got to have a facility.
You got to have a facility, and you have to have a reputation of being good.
Real quick, were you surprised to hear Coach Ladner so openly say that these guys have been getting recruited all year long?
No, sadly. And I was even less surprised when he said the amount of money that they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Jones on the football front, you know, Ole Miss, there were numbers being thrown around that Ole Miss was offering him $200,000 to $350,000. And then Florida State comes up with money north of the $1 million mark.
Yeah.
So it is the world we live in, and you gotta pay up or shut up, unfortunately.
And I think that you have to consider all of these factors when you evaluate the success of the basketball program. Fair?
Of course. All of it goes. I mean, he's got a lot on his plate, buddy.
He's got a lot of work to do between now. And you said October. That's hard to believe.
It used to be in the old days you wouldn't play any college basketball until the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Oh, they just got through 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but now these games, and they're little exhibition games and things like that. But, yeah, they're playing in October now.
I want to thank Coach Ladner for giving me that much time. The interview was much, much longer than the segments. But we wanted to bring those to you today in light of the news. So, Jay Ladner back next year. Golden Eagles on the road tonight to take on
Nickel State.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
You know, keeping up with your favorite team's fun. We all have a good time doing that. But remember now, you're the most important player. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. Check out all the services at foresthealth.org. Also, I want to say hello and thank you to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are nice. And you can see them all at the exclusive Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg.
I tell you, I was out for spring break a couple of weeks ago. I was in Phoenix for spring training, baseball out there. My brother drives a Genesis.
Yeah.
And my sister was there as well, and we needed to use his car to get to the ballpark. And my sister doesn't exactly have a good track record with her driving. And so my brother said, can we use your car to go to the ballpark? He said, yes, but you're not driving it. let Kelly drive it, because it is a Genesis.
Yeah, he didn't want it torn up, did he?
That's right. It's nice,
well,
too.
Well, I can kind of understand that.
Oh, for sure.
D-Bat's down on Hardy Street. That's a great place for baseball and softball training. Got great batting cages and all sorts of wonderful facilities at D-Bat. Hope you'll check them out. We thank them as well for their support of our show. Daniel Stewart's our baseball analyst. He joins us every Tuesday. And Daniel, Golden Eagles headed down to the coast tonight. I'll be following them down there. I just cannot believe that Nicholls State can win again. I'm going to see with my own eyes.
Well, I mean, just statistically speaking, you know, we're 0-5. We're due tonight, and if Archie State can be 0-15 against us and then win 2 of 3,
yeah.
You know, we should beat Nicholls State, absolutely.
Right. I want to go back to this weekend. We talked a lot, obviously, yesterday about the lack of hitting. You know, the pitching continues to be very good.
It does.
The pitching did not lose the series over the week. They pitched well enough to win. But from a pitcher's standpoint, how frustrating must it be for the pitching staff right now?
It is. You know, because pitchers, you know, you don't hit, so all you can do is go out and do your job. And take McCarty English on Sunday. You start out first inning. There's an error at short, error at second. Next thing you know, a wild pitch, and you're down 3-0. Bats are cold. It sets a tempo and a tone for the rest of the game that's not good and can be frustrating. So I've always kind of said those type of things are a little bit contagious. Mm-hmm. And it starts something small that grows into something bigger. So I'm hoping our coaching staff can get these guys on the right track.
Am I right to say this, and then Kelly can jump in here, that the batting slump has been going on now for a couple of 3 weeks, maybe a couple of weeks, but it's been hidden by the elite pitching?
I agree. You know, we haven't needed as many runs scored to win ball games, because our pitching has been just so dominant. And – you know, I looked at some of the stats from the weekend to watch the games, and it just seemed like, you know, Urban still had a great weekend. Gillespie had a great weekend. But kind of the bottom half of the lineup seemed to really struggle. And now, give Arkansas State credit. Their ERA was only second to us coming into the weekend in Sunbelt. So it's not like these guys aren't doing well. And that coaching staff has taken Arkansas State to a different level, probably going to be one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the conference when it's all said and done.
And guess where they all came from? Arkansas State. I mean, Nicholls State.
Yeah.
He was the coach at Nicholls.
Well, that makes our chances tonight even better, right?
he's gone. So,
but from a pitching standpoint, though, it's tough to do your job and do well and then have some struggles elsewhere when you're trying to win ball games.
If you would, Daniel, address the mentality of a pitcher going out with an 8-0 lead, or a pitcher that's in a 1-1 ball game, as far as his thought process on how he's got to limit his mistakes.
Yeah. So as much as because I've been there, as much as you'd like to say, and you hear pitchers say it all the time, I attack each hitter as if it's 10-0 or 0-0.
Yeah, right.
it's human nature. You can't not relax a little bit when you've got a big lead. And you see it in some of the way these guys are performing, where it's maybe late in the game, we're winning 8-0, like you said, and next thing you know, we get 2 outs, and then there's a 4-ball walk. And it's like, what's happening here? Why isn't this guy pumping strikes? Mentally, he let go a little bit. When it's a 1-1 game, and it's tight, and you're on the mound, you know you have to perform. So it's human nature. It's just easy to perform in those times when you know you got to perform, and easy to let up when you know you got a big lead.
It's interesting, because I kind of thought the answer would be the reverse of that you're more relaxed when you have a big lead, and that because you tighten up, you make more mistakes.
Well, you are more relaxed, but you lose focus
when you have room to make mistakes.
When you have room to make mistakes, you do. You know, you just let up, and that's why those 2-out walks are just kind of come out of nowhere, and you're like, "Where? This guy hasn't walked anybody all day. Now we got, you know, late in the game, and he just struck out the first 2 guys, and then walks the guy on 4 pitches. That's why."
And what's kind of ironic, though, is as a pitcher, you'd rather walk out there with an 8-0 lead than a 1-1 game.
100%. 100%. You'd much rather, you know, those games where you're like, "Man, the hitters are hitting. I'm in a groove."
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to stay in that groove. It really is.
Put yourself in McCarty English's head for a minute.
Yeah.
He pitched really well, but
he
truthfully, he had struck out the third batter. I mean,
yeah,
they missed the third strike, second out, third strike. But nevertheless, yeah. Then right after that, you've still got two outs, and your shortstop boots a routine mm-hmm. ground ball. Then your second baseman boots one.
Yeah.
What is your mentality then?
Well, you look at that inning, those things happen, then what do you see? A wild pitch, you know? And it gets you off of your game. It also adds pitches to the inning where, you know, those plays are made.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing 20 pitches that inning, you're only going to throw 12. So errors tend to send the pitchers out of the game early because the pitch count gets up. But, you know, when you're McCarty and you've kind of, like we talked last week, and, you know, kind of showed us and told us a little bit about what he'd been through, you get a guy like Kim. It's on a Sunday. It's a 1-1 series. You need to win that series. And then you get out in the first inning, and the defense is making some errors behind you. It can get you off your game pretty quick.
So, is this a must-win tonight? That seems silly. It's 16. They're 16-4. So, I guess that's a dumb question.
Yeah.
It's not a must-win, but it's an important game for
them. It's not a must-win, but I think it's a very much need to win for the psyche of the team, for the confidence in these guys going forward, because – let's be honest, we should beat Nicholls State. So then let's say we don't, and those thoughts start creeping in our players' heads. Maybe we're not as good as they said we are. You know, maybe we're not going to be able to keep this run going like we've had. Kind of doubts start creeping in your head.
Let's rewind the tape of the last four or five times we said we should beat Nicholls State.
Yeah. Well, also, too, like we've said, the Nicholls States, the Southeastern Louisianas, yeah. The UNO – man,
Southland teams,
they love to play us.
Yeah.
And they play up when they play us. And I feel like maybe our guys play down a little bit. And even you mentioned a lot of those guys came from Nicholls State. I saw this weekend that Arkansas State players played with a chip on their shoulder. They had something to prove. And not that our guys weren't playing hard. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you didn't see the swagger, I thought, in our guys than you did in their guys. Now, they're playing at home. They're playing the number 7 team in the country. It's easy to get up in those situations, but I would really like to see our guys play with a little more intensity.
So Dylan Causey gets the ball tonight. What do you like about his skill set as a starting pitcher?
You know, he's got 3 pitches that he can throw for strikes. He's a young guy. He's a local guy. So I think he's going to do really well, but it's going to be a bullpen game, kind of like we've seen the past couple midweek games. But he's in this list of guys. It's the Dylan Causeys, the Kevin Landry Farrs, the Bruce Littletons, these young freshman guys that are really going to be the foundation of our pitching staff going forward. They're fun to watch.
And the fact that they're playing on a quote-unquote big league field, I mean, do you think that even at the level that Southern Miss is playing at now, that any of that pomp and circumstance that goes along with a bigger field like that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
we're,
either.
We're going to travel well. It's going to be a somewhat Southern Miss home game, you know. And Nicholls State's not far. But it's really going to have a home game feel for us. We've played a lot of games down there. I think we'll be fine.
How do you explain a school, with all due respect, just not the program Southern Miss is in baseball,
right,
but they seem to have the Golden Eagles number? How do you explain that?
I don't know if you can explain it, honestly. You know, you just have to chalk it up to catching us at the wrong time, them playing up, us playing down. You know, it'd be easy to say if it was happening on their field, but it's happened at home, you know. But watching the game, like we talked about, those guys were aggressive at the plate. They were aggressive on the mound. You could tell they were trying their hardest to beat us.
Well, Southeastern was like that for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's right. And it's like Scott Barry used to say so famously, the opponent has Division I college baseball players, and they're practicing all week to beat us.
That's right.
He used to say that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And clearly, the Golden Eagles need to step up tonight and put this demon in the shelf, don't they?
They do. And I've always kind of talked like from a player perspective, from a fan perspective. From a fan perspective, I will be very disappointed if we were to – even if we win but don't play well, I still will be very disappointed based on the way our season has started. But from that player coaching perspective, they're treating this as any other game tonight.
And remember that Nicholls has made the regionals a lot in the past.
They're a quality club.
Yeah, and so that,
I don't mean to put them down.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's one of the top 64 teams in the country, and they consistently are.
Yeah.
So.
And they play like that.
They have against us.
All right, we're going to continue with Daniel Stewart right after the break.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, quick reminder, if you've got some gold around your house, some silver, some old jewelry, some old coins that maybe are no use to you anymore and you'd like some cash, where would you go, Kelly?
Let's see. I would go to Marty Vick at Jewel Masters.
Mm-hmm. And why would that be, Kelly?
Well, he's been doing it for 100 years, at least 100 years. And
Jesus loves you.
And married a woman who, if she had her weight in gold, she would be the richest person in the world.
Correct.
Cindy's just the greatest.
No, there's no question about
it. And Marty's fair. He'll give you a fair price. And you walk out with cash and won't even tell anybody that he's been working with you.
It's very confidential. It's very fast. You won't get more money anywhere in town than you will at Jewel Masters. So if you're in that market, there's really a pretty simple choice.
How did you like that answer?
You're just so slick. That's what they call segues.
S-E-G-U-E for those of you.
Are you impressed, Daniel?
I'm impressed. Dima's not here to cut you off when you're making a plug
this week
either. So you got to, tell the whole story. And you did a great job.
Because you're respectful, Daniel.
I'm respectful.
Yeah. You're not one of these new age people, By the way, we want to say hello to your daughter who got to come with you today.
Oh, yeah. She's on her, oddly enough, spring break started middle of the week. And mom was sick, so she gets to hang out with dad some today.
And it's Mary Taylor?
Mary Taylor.
Okay.
She is going to get picked up by her boyfriend's mom. Their boyfriend plays for Oak Grove. They're playing at Meridian tonight.
Wait a minute. She goes to Summerall and her boyfriend goes to Oak Grove?
It's a rivalry.
Uh-oh.
So we gotta,
controversy runs amok.
Does she know about your storied collegiate baseball career?
I think she's maybe heard a thing or two here and there. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was funny. She was younger. And Pobo Express over on 4th Street used to have pictures of a lot of baseball players. And she was little. She looked up and said, "Dad, that's you." I was like, "Oh, yeah, it is." I didn't even know it was there.
Man, Corky.
She thought I was famous,
The late Corky Palmer and Hill Denson and all the Joe Bryant, they'd always eat over there.
They held court there every single day. It was great.
Hey, before we get talking about tonight's baseball game against Nichols, press release out this morning by the university. They have officially set homecoming date. For this coming fall, it will be the weekend of October 25th. The Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns will be the football opponent. And homecoming week starts Monday, the 20th of October. So kind of late this year. But those of you, we do know that a lot of alumni listen to the podcast of Eagle Hour. So you can make your plans now. Homecoming week begins October 20th and culminates with the homecoming game on October 25th against Louisiana.
That'll be a good time of the year, though. It should be cool by then, and then it really is football weather. Right?
Alumni Association always holds their annual alumni golf tournament that Friday before, so be a good time. Won't be too hot. Play a little golf.
Fraternities and sororities have their floats out there.
Yeah.
And,
it's
always
Americana,
fun.
My man. It's part of America.
That's right.
Homecoming was a big deal back when I was. Apparently, it's not as big a deal now with the college kids. But is anything a big deal with the college kids?
You're so old that we used to date. You ask a young person now what dating means, and they don't have a clue.
They don't know.
No, they're talking.
They're talking.
Talking. That's the term.
Hooking up.
Bob. We don't say that.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
No,
was that bad?
My little one's giving me the smirk back there.
Yeah.
She knows what we're saying. She says, you know what she's thinking.
Yeah, she's,
those old men, they got
they
no
don't
idea.
What
look at those old people trying to be hip,
Yeah.
All right, Daniel.
Troy Boy is coming in this weekend, too.
Yeah.
What do you like that? They're struggling. There's a team that was supposed to be all that, and they're struggling. It's hard to predict.
It's baseball teams get hot and cold throughout the year. We started hot. We're cooling off a little bit. Maybe Troy started off a little cold. Maybe they're going to get hot. I hope they don't do it this weekend.
I hope not, Daniel.
But,
come on, man.
they're a talented team. They're going to compete. They're well coached, and it's going to be a tough weekend for us, especially if we continue some of our struggles at the plate. But it's always funny how the friendly confines of Pete Taylor Park always work in our favor.
All right, we're going to ask you a question nobody had an answer for yesterday. Why do teams go into batting slumps and then it seems like one person can get a big hit and it ignites the entire team. Why, Daniel?
Oh, gosh, it's funny you didn't get an answer because I don't know if I've got one.
Yeah.
It's just contagious. It honestly is. The good is contagious. The bad is contagious. We should joke about the baseball gods rewarding you. And we'd maybe do something silly at practice one day trying to change our fate, you know. But it is. The good plays that you get, it's contagious. You know, somebody gets a big hit, hypes everybody up. The next guy's going to be more aggressive. Translates to the mound, translates to the field. It's contagious.
And we haven't gotten to see the other teams in the Sun Belt play, right? All right, because we're just one weekend now into the – but where do you think after seeing Arkansas State, Daniel, that when the smoke clears, where do you think Arkansas State will finish?
I think they're going to be a top three or four team.
Okay.
If they can continue to pitch well, because I believe, and that's not just because I'm a pitcher, but I believe the strong pitching – can offset some weak hitting sometime. So they went into it second only to us for Sun Belt teams, team ERA going into this weekend here. So, and we saw they didn't have guys that just overpowered us. It just, they mixed things up and they hit their spots and they didn't get in binds. So if you got guys that can do that, you're going to be able to compete. So I think they play with some fire too. So I think they're going to compete. They're not going to beat us once the season's up. I think we're at the top one or two teams, hopefully the first, but they're going to have a good year.
And all the Sun Belt teams that have left-handed pitchers, get ready to start, because that's what the Eagles are going to see.
40 seconds left. Prediction tonight.
The Eagles finally get the win against
Eagles
Nichols.
Break the streak. We get a W tonight.
I kind of think the Eagles blow up tonight and really win the game big.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't, I will call and check on you, Bob.
You might need to. You might need to. Ask Angela if I walked out in the Gulf or did I get in the car if we don't win the game.
Is your TV screen not shattered?
All right. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow with Travis Creel, and we'll review what happens tonight. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.